1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, and with me tonight is Frank Briscoe. And we would like to make a special request of y'all tonight before we begin our program. Our good friend David Harris is going to be coming home on hospice tomorrow. And so we would like for you to be praying for the family, that you would give them, open up your hearts and pray to the God above for them and encourage them in this very difficult time in their life. We have, over the last several weeks, been discussing a Bible authority. And we've noted how it's very important for us to have authority for what we do in religion. And we have, over the last couple of weeks, been talking about authority and how that many people, by their actions, are disrespecting God by the things that they're involved in. And we're going to continue that tonight in talking about authority and things connected with that. But before we do, Frank, would you tell our audience from whence we are broadcasting tonight?
Okay, we're broadcasting this evening from KOME 95.3 out of Glenrose, Texas. Also by KATX 97.7 FM, Eastland. KNNK 100.5 FM. This is from the Hereford Canyon and Amarillo area. Also by KWBY 98.5 FM in Stephenville. KDAV AM 1590 in Lubbock. And KVOP AM 1090 in Plainview. We also bring broadcasts by the Gospel Radio Network.org, and this program will be repeated in the morning, Tuesday morning, at 6 a.m. You've heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Remember, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Q is in question, A is in answer, B-I-B-L-E. And if you have just the numbers, it's 855-722-4253. You can also reach us at emails at questions@harrisandmoore.org. And this will go to our email box, and we will be able to look at the questions or comments that you have and use them a little bit later. We appreciate your being with us this evening, and we look forward to sharing with you in the program that we have tonight.
You know, Frank, there are a lot of different standards in the world today. Is there religious division? Is there religious confusion in our world today? Well, the answer is very obviously yes. But why, Frank, do such divisions and confusions exist in the religious world today?
Well, the primary reason for the division and the confusion that we have is man has a lack for respect for the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
Or man doesn't have a standard to which they agree to follow. And want to set each to set up their own standard.
So we might ask the question then tonight as we delve into this matter, is God the one who causes such division? Is God the one who causes confusion to exist? Well, the answer to that most emphatically is no. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And Frank, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, it also addresses that same type of issue. Well, there was division going on there in the church of Corinth as well.
All right, and the Holy Spirit, by the pen of the Apostle Paul, said this ought not so to be.
Exactly right.
The division was over who they thought was the greatest, most important teacher. And this was causing the problems that had arisen there in the city of Corinth.
And so in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 it says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so God is not the author of confusion. The Apostle Paul condemns confusion. And so, Frank, what if all men followed the same objective standard of authority in a religion? What would we have if everybody followed the same authority?
Okay, we have one whole book in the New Testament that gives a good answer to that, and that's the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Acts tells us the beginning of the church, the organization of the church, the teaching of the church, and the mission of the church. You go through the book of Acts and you look at everything that's there and find any of the denominational doctrines that we have so many of today listed in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And if you look through the book of Acts, there's none of them there.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so divisions then, they would cease to exist if all religious people would simply unite by using the same standard, and that is the New Testament. You know, that safe, objective standard of authority does exist for all people. Where is that exact that standard, Frank, that exists that we are to follow?
Okay, in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae,
mm-hmm.
where he tells them that whatever you do,
yes.
in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord.
Okay.
Here's our source of authority. Here's the standard. And if everyone decided, as you suggest there, let's just do what the Bible says, immediately what a change would take place.
Most definitely correct.
In the religious world.
You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly furnished for every good work. So, Frank, it is God's Word that have been given to us in these inspired words is that which we are to use as to direct our paths. And if we'll all be of the same mind and of the same judgment and speak the same things, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, then we can be unified. But you know, Frank, shortly before our Lord was crucified, he had an important question, an important discussion about authority with the Jewish leaders of his day. What was the discussion that he was having with the leaders of his day, Frank?
Okay, they were discussing the authority of Jesus, and they asked him a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you get your authority for what you teach? Well, you know, if that question is an honest question, it's a good question.
Yes.
I mean, if we're really seeking the answer, by what authority do you do these things? In fact, that would be a very good question. to apply to the things that are being taught in religion today. Where do you get the authority for what you teach? Well, Jesus answered their question by asking a question. And in that particular instance, he asked them concerning the baptism of John. From whence did it come? Did it come from man, or did it come from God? And they are forced with the giving an answer of either God or man, and that's the only source
exactly
of authority
right.
that people have.
And if I remember correctly, they did not want to answer the question because they knew that either way they went with that, they were going to find themselves in trouble. Now, the question the Jews asked, by what authority doest thou these things, is a good one. And as you mentioned a moment ago, if it is asked with the proper motive. But notice carefully the reply of Jesus when he said, is the baptism of John from heaven or of men? What does this question show, Frank, when he asked that?
All right, he is telling us there's only two sources, two types of authority. And that one of them is from heaven, mm-hmm. which is from God, and the other one is from man, and is man-made.
Exactly right. And so, notice in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, there it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So when we think about the authority of God and the authority by which we do things religiously, there's only two choices, right, Frank?
Right.
We're either going to do it God's way or man's way. Now, if we do it man's way, then that's where the division comes in. But if everybody does it God's way, there's where unity is found.
Right. And it's very enlightening to look and to listen at some of the things that we see and hear in the religious world today. It's not unusual for a major religious group to call some big conference. And mm-hmm. and it'll be on the news that they're meeting in Denver, they're meeting in, you know, some great city, and that they've got a conference, and they've got one, maybe two problems that they want to solve. And they state those problems. And we're going to meet, and we're going to have this convention, and we're going to settle this issue.
Yeah.
And when the time comes, it boils down to everybody in favor say aye, and everybody opposed say no. You never hear them say, we're going to look and see what God's word says.
Yeah, what happens to what thus saith the Lord? Well, you know, using man as religious authority, Frank, is in reality showing disrespect to the authority of God. We need to realize that every religious practice and every religious teaching belongs to one of these two categories. Either they are from God or they are from man. If they're from God, they're authorized, right?
Right. And, you know, it's a little bit harsh to say it, but anytime someone simply says, here is what we're going to do, they're basically saying, and we don't care what God said.
Exactly right. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9, it says, then he needed not honor his father or mother, thus you have made the commandments of God of no effect by your traditions. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so, we see here, Frank, how serious it is then for us to be involved in using God's authority and not man's own ideas and wishes. He says here, when they use the doctrines of man, then their worship is vain. It is of no value.
Mark gives us the same discussion that Jesus gave there, and we find it in the book of Mark. In the 8th verse of the 7th chapter, he said, you leave the commandments of God and hold fast the tradition of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the thing that had become more important to them was what had the elders said. what did man said rather than what God has said.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're ending up in our series on Bible authority. And we're talking right now about the people having a different standards of authority. And as a result of that, they're showing disrespect for the authority of God. And we're going to be looking tonight at various standards that people use as opposed to the standard of God. And this is a very serious matter. And we pray that all of us will stop and ask ourselves, all those listening to us, Frank and I, by what authority do we teach and practice what we do? That has always got to be in the forefront. And so each of us need to follow God's word as our only standard, for only the truth can set men free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. So, from heaven or of men? That's an important question, isn't it, Frank?
That's the only source. Insofar as religion is concerned, we're either being guided by God in respect for his authority, or we're disrespectful of God and of the things that he has said, and we're turning to the things that man has said.
Exactly right. And so our Lord's question shows that there are really only two types of authority in religion, in religious matters, either divine or human. And in our time, many reject the standard that the Lord has given us, and they choose, don't they, Frank, rather to their own way, and as a result of that, they're showing disrespect for the Almighty God. And so what we need to do then is to look at some ideologies that show disrespect for the authority of God. And we may have some listeners out there tonight who perhaps are involved in these very ideas and rejecting God's authority for their own ideas.
Right. And, you know, Jesus, and one of the things that we want to keep in mind during his public ministry, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away."
Exactly.
Now, he wasn't just talking about the fact that you're going to be able to find a copy of it. What he's saying is, when he says it, it's not going to change. It's not going to pass away.
Exactly right. You know, Frank, there are a lot of people today who think that they have a better way. Many totally disregard what the Bible says. They're disregarding God's authority and simply do what they want to do, thinking that they have a better way than God does. Now, there are a lot of people, Frank, who may not just say that out loud, but that is the conclusion. That is what happens when they follow the course that they are following. Do you think that those on Mount Sinai had that mentality?
Right. You know, we mentioned a fellow, it's been a few programs back, who continually in the articles that he wrote in the paper, that we take the Bible for our authority and our guide, but we have to remember that there is an authority within the authority, which was just simply his way of saying that, you know, here's the Bible, and we're going to take what part of it we want, what part of it we don't, we're going to disrespect.
Exactly right. You know, and sometimes, Frank, people also talk about, well, there's important things and less important things in the Bible. And I've always wondered, who told them what was important and what was less important? I would seem to think that if it's in the Bible, it's all important, right?
It's all important.
Exactly. You know, Frank, at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, built a golden calf, and they built it because that was what they wanted. They wanted a golden calf. They built it, and God punished them for it. They were simply doing what they wanted. and not having authority for it, or not doing what God says. That seems to be one of the biggest problems in our world today, Frank. People just simply doing it the way they want or what they want.
Right. You know, this is what we were talking about before the program began. When Satan got them to build the golden calves, it took their focus off of God, and their focus now was upon the golden calves that they had built to please themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that became their standard, and it became their authority, and the focus was no longer on God.
We're talking about, Frank, about the period of the judges as well. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. In other words, as each person desires, but their conduct resulted in disrespect. Again, they disrespected by doing that which was right in their own eyes. Now, the number to call tonight, if you would like to get involved in the discussion, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We are taking calls tonight, so be sure and call us if you have a question or a comment. To want to do something that does not make it right or wrong, Jeremiah says, "Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. And so when people start doing things their own way, as opposed to doing things God's way, again, we are disrespecting the authority of God. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Give us your name and your comment or question, please.
Tom, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I just had a comment on
all right.
You were talking about that. You know, if you look back into the book of Revelation,
mm-hmm.
It says, it starts out to every one of those churches, "I know what you're doing."
Yeah.
"I know what you're doing." So regardless of what these people, what doctrine they want to preach or what they want to do, God knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, we might all stop and think about this a little bit. You know, when people start putting this stuff out as truth and everything because that's what I think, I feel, and that's just what I want to do and everything, God knows what they're doing.
Exactly right.
And if it's not with the Bible, then it's wrong.
You know, and shouldn't that be something that, Bill, that motivates us to want to do the right thing, knowing that God does know exactly what we're doing, and he also is aware of our motives too, isn't he?
Right. He knows exactly what we're thinking, what we're doing, and like you said, the motives behind what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So. It motivates me.
Yeah, I know. I remember as a kid, we used to sing the song, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you," and that used to scare me just a little bit. But I think we'd probably act a little bit better if we really meditate and thought about that very issue a little bit more.
Well, I think so. I think everybody ought to, before they open their mouth, they ought to stop and think of just a little bit.
Exactly.
And about what they're thinking and what they're doing and their motives behind it.
Mm-hmm. And we can only.
I was just listening, and that popped into my mind because I was reading in the first book, first part of Revelation, and all seven of those churches, he starts it out the same.
Yeah, that's right.
Way.
Well, we sure do appreciate you calling in, Bill.
You bet. Thank
all
you.
Right, you betcha.
Bye-bye.
You know, Frank, Bill makes a very good point that God knows what's going on here. We can't hide these things from God.
That while he was talking, I thought of a passage over in the Old Testament, one very familiar to us. It's the one where Moses was telling the children of Israel about the fact that God was going to raise up from among their brethren a prophet like unto him. But in that same section, in verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 18, he said, "The prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which Jehovah hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of Jehovah, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Jehovah hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. you shall not be afraid of him. And to put that down into our day and time, what he's saying very plainly is if someone comes along and gives you a teaching, gives you a prophecy or teaching, which is what the word means, and you can't find it in God's word, then it didn't come from God.
Exactly.
And
right.
So don't be afraid of him. We don't pay attention to him because he has spoken presumptuously, not authoritatively.
And so, Frank, some people are disrespecting the authority of God by thinking that they have a better way. But, Frank, one of the things that I hear often is the attitude of, well, everybody is doing. You know, we used to use that excuse as a kid, didn't it? I remember when I was a kid, I'd say something, well, Daddy, everybody else is doing it. And he'd say, Tommy, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you also do it? Well, just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right. And what we've got to realize then in connection with this is that the majority is not our God or is not our guide in religion, is it?
Absolutely not.
You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in thereby. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We've got to realize that just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right. And just because we have people in maybe in our college presidents, and just because maybe other preachers are doing it, maybe because authors are doing it, does not make it right, right? In Exodus, what did Moses say about this in the book of Exodus? In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 2, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." So just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right.
All right, so what we have to recognize and what we hope to be able to express is the fact that there is a standard.
Exactly.
And it is not the standard that man sets.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or comment, please.
Yes, Wendell is my name.
Wendell? Okay, and Wendell. What's on your mind?
I had a question about the whole concept of, you're talking on the radio about the authority of the Bible and how, you know, people are not... In authority over the Bible, and therefore when the Bible says something, we're not supposed to be changing it.
Correct.
And I assume that means that what would be considered the Protestants would be following a better line, say, than other religions that might decide to change, say, what the Bible considers the Sabbath, or what types of meats that are allowable to eat and that sort of thing. Would I be accurate in that?
Well, maybe you need to rephrase what you're saying. I don't know. I think I know what you're... You know, there are some people who believe the Bible to be their authority, but say you can eat certain meats, and others say who believe the Bible's authoritative can say you can't eat those meats. Am I getting what you're saying?
Yeah, and it also falls over into the concept of the Bible says that the seventh day is the Sabbath. However,
here's one of the things, Wendell, that we need to realize about Bible authority in the Bible is that there are different dispensations in the Bible. For example, you know, there is an Old Testament and the New Testament, right?
Right.
Under the Old Testament, they had various laws like, for example, you were not to eat pork. You were not to eat catfish. The Sabbath day was the seventh day. That is the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he is giving us another law. He has fulfilled the Old Testament. Now the new law is different. And so that's an important thing for us. And we're going to discuss that some in the future about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, we were required to make animal sacrifices. Under the New Testament, we're no longer required to make animal sacrifices. Is that kind of where you're coming from?
Well, there is that, and I agree with that completely. But the Ten Commandments mm-hmm. are there on both the Old and New Testament.
Right.
To say that the New Testament does away with or changes who God is would seem to me to be a problem.
Oh, yeah, and I agree most definitely. And here's one of the things that we've got to realize about the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. God does not change. His moral principles does not change. The things that have changed between the Old Testament and New Testament is the way God wants to be worshipped. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, you mentioned the Ten Commandments. I follow the Ten Commandments because they're taught in the New Testament. But all those principles are taught in both covenants. God's moral principles have never changed. And so how God wants us to approach Him, the worship of God, is changed, but His moral laws are always the same. God is always the same. Is that kind of what you're asking about and thinking along the line of?
Yes, essentially. Uh-huh. I still have questions regarding, you know, when the Bible says, remember the seventh day to keep it holy,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that at some point then God said, well, actually, what I meant to say was just keep Sunday holy now instead of Saturday?
Okay.
I
think, you know, that is one of the areas of worship. God, how God wants to be worshipped has changed. You know, God also says that they were to make various sacrifices on various days, right? You know, there was those were commands of God, but those commands have been done away. And now, under the new covenant, you know, when God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy under the Old Testament, He says, but now I say unto you, I want you to remember the first day of the week. Things have changed. And the reason the first day of the week is important because that was the day the Lord resurrected. It brought in a new regime.
He never said that.
Huh? He never said what?
To worship on the first day.
He doesn't. Well, okay, let's go.
It's nowhere in the Bible.
It isn't.
No, well, that was a creation by the Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church
caused that. That's recorded.
While Tom's looking up a verse for you, let me point out something that you mentioned. Something you said the first day of the week was the invention of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church didn't come into existence for several hundred years. And the worship on the first day of the week had been going on since the day of Pentecost. Book of Acts begins in chapter 2. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were all assembled together. And from that point on, every reference for the church meeting together is on the first day of the week.
The thing that
I want you to keep in mind is, and you make a good point when you say, well, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It also says you take a scapegoat, you kill it, you put blood on its horns, you carry it in the wilderness and turn it loose. But now that was to one dispensation, and it was to the Jews. We don't do that today.
You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 2, it gives an example of, it says here, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him a store, that there be no collections when he come. This is talking about a time of them worshiping together, and he says there upon the first day of the week. And then you have over in the book, and let me finish here and I'll let you talk. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we have another example of the Christians worshiping on the first day of the week, where there it says, Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, continuing his message until midnight. And so here we have another example of first century Christians worshiping on the first day of the week. And Wendell, you told me a while ago that that was not found anywhere in the New Testament, and I've just showed you two places where that is the case. And also you can find it in 1 Corinthians at chapter 11, also the first day of the week being mentioned with regard to worship. Three places.
In 1 Corinthians, you think?
Yes. You know, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, mentions also Christ being raised on the first day of the week. That's what it's all about.
Pentecost is the first day of the week. Mm-hmm. Pentecost comes from the Greek term 50, and it's 50 days after Passover. And it would, of necessity, always fall on the first day of the week. 50 days, 7 times 7, 49, 50 is the first day of the week.
So, Wendell, there are four or five examples of Christians in the first century meeting on the first day of the week, and we are to follow their example. Something to chew on anyway, right, Wendell?
Definitely so.
Okay, well, why don't you give that some thought, and maybe next Monday you can call us back and we'll talk more about that. Would that be all right with you?
That'd be fine.
All right, Wendell.
I'd like to do that.
All right, Wendell. We appreciate you calling in. You know, we just like to get to what the Bible says, right, Wendell?
Absolutely.
I appreciate your mentality. I appreciate your honesty. All right. Thank you, Wendell.
All right.
And so, you know, it's people like Wendell that I like to talk with, Frank. They just want to talk the Bible, don't like to get hot-headed or anything. We just want to listen, look at the Bible, and find out what it says. And that's what Bible study is all about, isn't it, Frank?
Absolutely. And I really like the thing that he was saying is he was giving a quotation from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was trying to do is to point out and see how that the particular quotation that he gave was applicable to the Jews. If we'd had time, I wanted to read there in the book of Ephesians, where he talks about the fact that the law had been given to the Jews. Gentiles were not under it. As a result of the cross of Christ, the division that existed between them was removed, and we're now all under the same system, the Christian system.
Exactly. And I know, Frank, that it's going to be important for us to hear in recent days. And we're going to be talking about, beginning next Monday, why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about in that series is understanding and knowing the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Wendell made some important points about we don't just disregard the Old Testament. We need to understand how it is used. And we'll talk more about that in the days to come. But, Frank, when we're talking about authority and how some people are looking at authority and disrespecting God's authority, one of the ways that they're doing that, Frank, is that they are following their feelings instead of maybe doing what God says, right?
Well, there are those things that are we hear much about as far as religion is concerned, but they are not things that are authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come from God, and they don't have specific authority. And as you said, feelings is one of them. If one uses feelings for his standard, then every individual has a different standard. And no two would be believing or acting in the same way.
You know, it kind of gets back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago about objective standards and subjective standards. You know, an objective standard is like 1 + 1 = 2. That's an objective standard. It doesn't change. It don't matter what you think about it. It is 1 + 1 = 2. Subjective standard means subject to your feelings. The Bible is an objective standard, not a subjective standard. You know, if the Bible, Frank, were a subjective standard, then we would have all kinds of division because how I feel about it and how you feel about it and how Wendell feels about it and how Bill feels about it, you know, how you feel depends on how you interpret the Bible.
Yeah.
If we did it that way, we would have all kinds of confusion.
One of the things that we've looked at a time or two is the article that we see every once in a while in Fort Worth Star-Telegram on Saturday, the fellow over there, Wright, he was attempting to justify by feeling the homosexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this individual has a near-death experience, and he's caught into heaven, and he gets to visit with an angel. And an angel shows him two lights that are making love. Now, I don't have two lights make love, but that was the expression. And he said, now, God created the light, and there's no sexuality between them, male or female. It's just two lights. And then the guy comes back to earth and said, since God created everything good, then this tells me that the lifestyle that people are practicing today is okay. In other words, a totally subjective feeling of having a vision of two lights.
You know, people will go to no ends to try to prove what they want to be right as right. I'm just amazed how that people will allow their feelings. You know, if we allow our feelings to be our guide, then we're never going to have unity. We're always going to be divided. Some claim that God has touched their heart, implying that God has done this directly to them. Others have a so-called religious experience, claiming that God has touched or spoken or revealed something to them in some way. But, Frank, are feelings reliable when it comes to authority?
We would recognize the truth of that in just about all matters other than religion, where we know that just because we feel something doesn't necessarily make it be correct.
Mm-hmm.
The old illustration of the pencil in a glass of water. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look at it and feel that that pencil's crooked, and if you look at it in a glass of water, it'll look absolutely bent.
Exactly.
But that's not an accurate standard, nor is it an accurate acceptance.
Exactly. You know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, it talks about how that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so there are a lot of people who think, who feel that they're doing right, but God says that is the way of death.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of religious people who seem to care less about what the Bible says, and they care more about their feeling. You remember, Frank, I don't know if you were there with us that day, but there was a lady named Charlotte, and she was asking us a Bible question, and we showed her right from the Bible where she was wrong. She read it, and she looked at that and says, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe it. You see, that's a person who is going by their own feelings, maybe perhaps by what they've always been taught. You know, we're going to have to just simply let the Bible teach us. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of like the situation that I told you that I dealt with one time in a religious discussion when we came down to a specific quotation from the Bible. We turned to the Bible and read it. And the man stood there for a moment, and he said, when the Bible disagrees with what I feel, and he touched himself on the chest, mm-hmm. when I disagrees with what I feel in my heart, then I have to think the Bible is wrong.
Well, you know, I kind of asked the question, why would we even need a Bible then? If you're just going to do what's right in your own heart? You remember, our feelings then, Frank, they're not a safe guide, are they?
Right.
And that's what Paul said, brother, and I have lived before God in all good conscience unto this day. He always did what he felt was the right thing. And at that time of his life, he felt the right thing to do was to kill Christians, didn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So feelings, more times than not, will prove themselves to be unreliable and often based upon falsehood and something that's not true. And so we've got to be careful about that. But, Frank, another thing that people do that disrespects the authority of God is try to make their conscience their authority.
Yeah, it's not unusual to hear people say, well, just let your conscience be your guide. And, you know, I think it's one of the marks of humanity that people somehow or another have gotten the idea that you know, this is the inner reflection of man, and it's the essence of the soul or whatever. But what we have to realize and recognize is that conscience does not determine what's right or wrong.
Exactly right. You know, that's one of the great marks of humanity, reflecting on inner self, your inner soul. But, you know, our consciences have to be developed, don't they? You know, there are some people who think that it would be right to rob, or right to steal. I followed my conscience. You know, even Paul said he did all things in good conscience, but at the same time he was involved in the killing of human beings. And so the conscience has to be developed correctly, right?
Has to be taught.
Exactly. And for it to be taught correctly, we're going to have the proper authority, right? You know, if a man has used God's word as his authority, he uses it and he's a strict adherent to God's word, he's going to have a conscience that developed, but it's developed by the word of God. Some people's consciences have been developed by other people, or by where they've been raised, or what they're used to. And so our conscience is not a safe guide unless, what? It's been developed by the word of God.
Right. You know, we can see an illustration of this around us almost any time. The man that just a little over a week ago committed the tremendous and horrific crime out in Florida, killed, what, 40? Do you think it bothered his conscience?
No. He thought he was doing the right thing, didn't he?
He thought he was doing what his God would have him to do.
But he was wrong. So there's a good example of one's conscience, following his conscience, but he did a horrible thing on that day.
You know, all our conscience does is urge us to do what we think is right.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite, it urges us to avoid what we think is wrong. And what we think is right or wrong is a result of what we've taught.
Exactly. It's important for us to realize that. And Frank, you know, another thing that really causes people to disrespect the authority of God is the use of tradition. You know, the religious world contends that truth is contained not in Scripture alone. There are a lot of people say that we need to abide by both Scripture and tradition. And Frank, the Catholic Church believes that tradition is more authoritative than the Scripture is.
Right.
You know, and I've asked some of my Catholic friends, well, where do you find what you're doing in the Bible? They'll say something like, well, it's according to our tradition. And so they believe tradition is more authoritative in the Bible. What does the Bible say about tradition, Frank?
But, you know, one of the great warnings that Jesus gave, and I think you read part of that a little bit earlier there in Matthew chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the Jews, and these are the Jews that are, you know, following after the law of Moses, that are in their own way attempting to worship God. But then Jesus speaks to them. He said, why do they asked Jesus, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? And they were pointing out the system of teaching that they had developed over a period of time. And Jesus' answer, he said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions?
Mm-hmm.
For God said, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, that wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is given to God, he shall not honor his father. And you have made void the word of God because of your traditions. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments or precepts of men.
Exactly right. You know, and also in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, Frank, we've got to realize that when people try to start using tradition above God's word, Paul said here, you beware of that when people try to lead you astray by tradition. Now, Frank, is all tradition bad?
You know, tradition simply means that system of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And on different occasions, Paul refers to that which he teaches as being the tradition that was delivered unto them.
Exactly right.
And so they receive the tradition, the teachings of God. On the other hand, there are those traditions that Jesus identified as the traditions of your fathers.
So there is a tradition of man, tradition of one's fathers. There is the tradition of God. And the tradition of God is always to be in the forefront, right? That is our authority in religion, not the tradition of men, not the tradition of some religious organization, not the tradition of some man, but the tradition of God.
You know, it's quite revealing to simply ask the question concerning religious practice of a different individual. By what authority? You know, where did this teaching come from?
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of the things that we see and hear a whole lot about is the sprinkling of infants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where do you get any authority for, quote, baptizing or sprinkling an infant?
It's from the traditions of men.
It's certainly not from God.
Exactly,
or God's
right.
Word.
And, you know, and the use of instrumental music in worship fits into the same category, because there is no authority for it in the New Testament, and it has began by the traditions of men. There is no biblical authority for that. And Frank, in the last few moments that we have tonight, let's talk a little bit about customs. You know, there are some people who believe that one's custom is to be their authority in religion, but what does the Bible say about that?
We mentioned that a little bit earlier in the program, where there are those that say, well, you know, everyone's doing it. This is what everyone mm-hmm. does it this way.
Yeah.
And it's the custom. It's the accepted thing, or mm-hmm. or whichever one of the arguments they want to use.
You know, there's an example, David, Frank, how that we sometimes can do something over and over again because that's the way it's always been done in our family. You know, we always use the example of this one young lady was asking her mother, Mother, why do you always cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the pan? And that mother says, well, you know, I don't know. That's the way my mother always did it. So she called up her mother and says, Mom, why did you always cut the end of the ham off before you put it into the pan? She goes, well, you know, I don't really know. That's the way my mother always did it. So she called her mother and says, Ma, why did you always cut the end of the ham off before you put it into the pan? She says, well, dear, we did that because my pan was too small. You see, sometimes we can get things started because that's the way somebody else did it. It is a custom. And, Frank, we have to be very careful of that we don't start doing things, and I don't care what religious group you are, you need to be careful that you aren't doing things just because that's the way it has always been done. Frank, there's only two possible sources for religious authority. What are they?
Either from God or from man.
Exactly right. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Where is our authority? Frank, before we conclude tonight, why don't you tell us who our sponsors are tonight, and then we'll draw in some concluding remarks.
Okay, we want to express appreciation for those congregations and individuals that make this program possible each week. Some of our additional sponsors are the Bangs Church of Christ, De Leon Church of Christ, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, and Church of Christ in Rising Star. Also the Mount Vernon Church and the 9th and Main congregation in San Angelo, Texas. The Windmill Church of Christ from 4839 Tin Top Road, that's in Weatherford, Texas. And also the Santo Church of Christ. These all make this program possible, make it available to you so that we don't have to stop for commercials. And might point out that everything that we receive goes directly to the program.
Exactly. You know, Frank, there's also some individuals like the Hansons from Weatherford, the Swiggers from the Metroplex area, the Keeters from Iredale, the Forehands from Hamilton, the Moores from Dripping Springs, all have made personal contributions to the program, and for these we are greatly indebted. Frank, we have, over the last several weeks, been talking about the authority of God. And when we talk about the authority of God, we've got to realize that if we're not following God's authority, then what we're doing is not going to be pleasing in His sight. You know, we have a couple of good examples that we can mention briefly here about not following the proper examples of not following God's authority. When we think about Nadab and Abihu, when they offered strange fire before the Lord, they were doing things their own way. They got their fire for the incense from a different source. God required a certain kind of fire to be used. They used something else, and God sent down fire from heaven to devour them, right?
And consume and kill them.
Exactly. And then there was Noah. Tell us about Noah and about authority and maybe wood, the kind of wood he was to use.
Okay, when God spoke to Noah concerning the wickednesses in the world, he commanded Noah to build an ark. And then he gave specific instructions concerning that ark. You know, the kind of wood that he was to use, the size of the ark. You know, that this was the standard that was given. And Noah followed God's standard. And as a result, Noah and his wife, three and sons, and their wives were all saved from the flood that came.
Exactly right. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord or in His authority. Colossians 3 and verse 17. We'd like to you, as we're closing now, remember our brother David. Remember his family. We mentioned earlier that David was brought home. He's now under hospice care. And so it's a difficult time for us, a difficult time for his family. So we encourage you to pray for him. We ask you to keep the program in your prayers, keep David in your prayers, his family in your prayers. And we know and we live by Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Thank you for listening in. We hope you're listening next week. We pray that God would bless you as you do His will.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.